You're listening to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. Joining us now, as they do on most Fridays, are Susan Demas, publisher of Inside Michigan Politics, and Ken Sikkema, senior policy fellow at Public Sector Consultants. So primary turnout was 19% of all registered voters in Michigan this past Tuesday. It might be mixing apples and oranges, but there was a 34% turnout for the presidential primary earlier this year. What's that say about the level of interest in these congressional and statehouse races? Susan?
Well, it's sadly predictable and follows a trend that, you know, we had roughly 20% turnout in our primary. August tends to be one of the worst times to have a primary in Michigan. Our weather is finally starting to get good. People are looking at other things like getting their kids ready for school. And, you know, time and time again, we see this abysmal turnout. But, you know, I do think that 34% turnout for the presidential primary, that is more positive. And come November, we should see a pretty good turnout for that, certainly far exceeding 34%.
I was looking at the Secretary of State's website to find out what past turnouts have been. It's been as low as 15% back in 1990. In 88, it was 16.5%. 2014, it was 17.4%. So while 19% is bad, it could be worse. Ken, I want to talk to you about the first congressional district Republican primary. It was not won by the two men with legislative experience, but a former Marine Lieutenant General. What did you make of that race? The winner was Jack Bergman, which I admit I know next to nothing about Jack Bergman.
Well, I think there's a couple things there that are working. One is, you know, this sort of support for outsiders when it comes to national races, and congressional races are certainly somewhat national, at least in the sense you're electing somebody to the U.S. Congress. And both in that seat and over in the thumb where there was a Republican primary, the sort of outsiders prevailed. But I don't want to make too much of that. I mean, in both cases, the victor did it with about 38-39%. You know, you have these crowded primaries where that can happen, and so it really gets cut up. But, you know, there's probably, those are the two sort of big takeaways, and up there in the first, and, you know, I think Susan has a pretty good handle on this, but the two incumbent office holders, Tom Casperson, the current office holder, Jason Allen, a former office holder, kind of beat each other up going into it. So,
Susan, I wanted to ask you about that, and the 10th is As Ken alluded to in the thumb, the 10th Congressional District held by Candace Miller. She's retiring. In the first, we should say Dan Benishek is retiring. That's why they're open. A five-way Republican primary race in the 10th, and Paul Mitchell won that one. What do you make of that race?
Well, once again, you have a crowded primary. And so in that race, you only had three contenders that really rose to the top. Paul Mitchell, a businessman who had previously run in a different congressional district, the 4th district back in 2014, and was not successful. You had Phil Pavlow, who's a current state senator from St. Clair, and former Senator Alan Sanborn. And then you had a couple also rans. Paul Mitchell just dominated the airwaves. He was willing to spend heavily, as he did last time. But I think he learned from some of his mistakes. He had Candace Miller's ex-chief of staff as his chief advisor, which is helpful in the district. And the result was not very surprising.
Let's go to the first, Susan, your observations about Jack Bergman winning that Republican primary.
I spent a lot of time up in the first district back in June, both above and below the Mackinac Bridge, and I was really surprised how quiet the race was at that point. You know, I didn't see any TV ads or billboards. When I was asking people about the race, they were just not engaged. Then it got very heated very quickly with Allen and Casperson beating each other up, as Ken said. And I think that Jack Bergman was able to rise to the top. He was an outsider, attractive military background. And I think he was running a much better campaign below the surface than anyone realized.
Ken, the Detroit News and WDIV-TV released a poll this week. It showed that Governor Snyder's approval rating is below 40%. His disapproval ratings at 54% of likely voters. I know we're not even through the 2016 elections, but will Governor Snyder's legacy have an impact on the 2018 elections? And if so, in what way?
Well, I think there will be maybe a political impact rather than the word legacy. I mean, I think with this Flint situation, it's going to be a challenge for whoever the Republican nominee is to sort of fight that off. I mean, you know, has the Republican brand from a gubernatorial standpoint been damaged when it comes to that 2018 gubernatorial race? That's kind of takeaway I've had for some time on this whole Flint situation. Now, the Snyder polling, obviously, it's not great. You don't know if that changes over time. I just think as you get into the last couple of years of your last term as governor, no matter what, Flint aside, it's just tougher and tougher to advance a robust agenda through your last 2 years.
Susan?
Well, I think that 2010 was clearly a referendum on Jennifer Granholm. And I think 2018 will be a referendum on Rick Snyder. And by that time, perhaps his numbers have recovered. Perhaps Flint is in the rearview mirror. I tend to think it will still be an issue. And, you know, governors after two terms tend to struggle with favorability. People tend to tire of them and look for something new. So I fully expect that Snyder will be a huge issue in the 2018 election.
And finally, in the 8th Congressional District, Democrat Melissa Gilbert won the Democratic primary to challenge Republican incumbent Mike Bishop. Gilbert, the former Little House on the Prairie actor, says she's not healthy enough to run and says she will withdraw from the race. Democrats are scrambling to get information to the Secretary of State's office to get Gilbert off the ballot and the party's new choice, Susanna Shkreli, as a replacement. Mike Bishop, the incumbent, just must be chuckling right now. Regardless of how this turns out, does Bishop have anything to worry about at this point? Susan?
Well, in a year where Trump is pulling below Clinton at 10 points in August, if that holds, perhaps there could be a surprise, but it's highly unlikely. It's very difficult to mount a campaign for Congress this late in the game, which is what Shkreli has to do. And it's a district that's 55% Republican anyway.
Ken?
Well, Bishop can't take his eye off the ball, but I don't think he's in trouble here. I'm not happy with what's going on here, being able to sort of get off the ballot because you're saying you're physically unable to run. The Secretary of State's got to make a decision, and it's going to be precedent-setting. And I think the sort of integrity of the nomination process is at stake here. You know, it's one thing, this is sort of a one-time unusual event, but my concern is the Secretary of State's got to make a ruling, and whatever it is, I think it's got to be done in such a way so that you avoid allowing this sort of physically unable to campaign become actually a political strategy that party can use down the road to get weak nominees off the ballot and replacing them with stronger ones. So the decision made by the Secretary of State here is going to be precedent-setting.
That's Ken Sikkema, Senior Policy Fellow at Public Sector Consultants. And we heard from Susan Demas, the publisher of Inside Michigan Politics, who joined us by Skype. Thank you both for talking with me.
Thank you.
Thank you.